spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
I told my mom I thought I saw a werewolf. And my mom believed me.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Serious crap.
You think these people were eaten?
My dog stepped on a bee.
Unidentified flying objects. I think that fits the description pretty well.
Haunted human remains.
He's dead, but he has the power to move and kill.
She was bludgeoned to death with an axe.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
When I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to...
And this is the Spookies Podcast.
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. Welcome to the Spookies Podcast.
This is Michael, the Pumpkin King Black.
And I am Stephanie, the Wicked Witch of the Midwest.
It's Halloween week, so we have another story for you tonight. As many of you know, I always say horror is my genre. But what you might not know is that my favorite subgenre of horror is what is known as folk horror. So I wrote a folk horror story for Halloween week.
Should we define what folk horror is?
Folk horror is strange things found in woods, rural or isolated settings, villages, forests, farmlands, places far removed from modern society. No phones, no social media, the stuff of Gen Z nightmares.
And millennials. I mean, we're glued to them too.
Speak for yourself. Pagan conspiracies in small towns, the power of folklore and superstition, a kind of pre-Christian way of looking at the world.
Moonlit nights and midnight masses.
Ancient customs that predate mainstream religions.
Nature as a source of terror.
Some forgotten horror humanity fought against in the distant past. People and their relationship to the landscape. What is known as psychogeography.
Psychic imprints people leave on a place and vice versa.
So do you believe in that we are all psychically tied to the land and nature?
Absolutely. I felt it.
Where at? No.
Many places.
Folk horror is all about the present reckoning with the past. The return of the repressed.
The land remembers. And which is what exactly?
The return of the repressed?
Yes.
The concept of the return of the repressed was first developed by Sigmund Freud, the father of psychoanalysis. And he was known for his theories about the unconscious mind and some rather unpleasant ideas about our relationship with our parents. Your favorite.
So gross.
The core idea is about how things we try to bury or ignore, uncomfortable, distressing, or taboo things, do not stay buried. Instead, they resurface over time, like the past haunting the present, demanding to be acknowledged. Like something just comes up out of the ground, you know.
I mean, all I can think of is that he thinks we all want to bang our parents.
He's much more than that. And he's also the basis for a lot of Jungian ideas. But when we push down a memory or a feeling deep enough, it just doesn't disappear. It hides out in the unconscious mind, waiting for an opportunity to reemerge, often taking various forms. Repressed elements can appear as dreams, slips of the tongue, hence Freudian slip, or even phobias or behaviors that seem to come out of nowhere. Like neuroses, that's what he's talking about. I think that makes sense. I think that's totally on point.
Yeah, even with modern psychology, it's still...
Freud is more than you just want to bang your dad.
But he's most remembered for...
No,
everyone wants to bang.
He came up with psychoanalysis. Parents. He came up with the unconscious. Yeah. Yeah. What they used to call the subconscious was actually the unconscious.
Well, the id and stuff like that.
Yeah,
ego and
that's
the
a part of that. That's all a part of that. I know. I went to school on it. Folk horror often explores rural or isolated communities where the horror is often tied to the land and something ancient, such as forgotten rituals, old gods, or hidden traumas the community prefers to ignore. Repressed elements in folk horror might include pagan beliefs, sacrificial rites, or acts of historical violence that society attempted to forget but still persist in disturbing ways. But in folk horror, they never truly vanish. They're always there, somewhere in the woods, waiting for you. I'm not a neo-pagan or a hippie.
Who says?
I am not. I don't like hippies. They're smelly.
Dirt toes.
And I don't worship, like, you know, things in the woods.
You don't make little sculptures, like True Detective? Little creepy sculptures?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because True Detective is, that first season is considered folk horror.
There's folk horror throughout, I think, all three seasons.
Well, in the fourth one.
Yeah, especially.
You know, everybody hated it on the internet. So
so fucking good.
I am an occultist. Now, before you say devil worshiper, hold on. When I'm alone in the woods, I'm serious about this. I can feel it. I can feel the forest watching me, that primal energy. The trees hold old secrets whispering in the wind. I feel the weight of our ancestors, early man, those who walked before time. I do. I felt it. Maybe it's colonial violence, or mm-hmm. when I've been in certain places. Not every time. Like, if I'm taking the dog out to pee, I don't feel something.
No, I mean, and it doesn't really hold for kind of new growth forests, the ones that aren't very old.
Old growth trees.
We're talking about those old growth trees, and when you wander around in those places, sometimes you feel lightness and a positivity, or just the cycle of life, in my opinion. I think you can feel those things too, but you can also feel if violence has been done there. Many raids have happened, guerrilla raids, right?
Well,
colonists and indigenous people who lived here. So a lot of fighting.
You had a moment when we were driving through Southern California where you were saying, oh, this place feels strange, or this energy here, you know?
It was weird. Apparently it was around Riverside, and it was this just area of the highway, and
these mountains.
There was a big valley, and it felt like some kind of like battle or skirmishes or something had happened there, where death had taken place, because it felt...
The land remembers.
Yes, precisely. But it had a kind of malevolence and a sense of violence right there. And it was very strange. And then when we were out of that area, it was gone. It was just gone. So it was really only for like a couple miles. It wasn't this huge swath or something, or however big that like kind of valley area was that we drove through.
I don't remember how big it was.
How long it was. But I really could feel it. And I'm not alone in this. There are even historians who talk about, you know, being on plantations, and you can feel that latent violence there. You can feel
the weight of history.
It's so much more than that, because I think a lot of us suppress or ignore what we consider psychic abilities, but it's or what we call instinct.
What you're describing is the return of the repressed, which we just talked about.
It's truly. I really do think our spirits and our, or if you could want to call it unconscious, if you want to be more scientific about it. Can sense these things within the land and within places themselves, even buildings and objects.
This episode should have been titled The Land Remembers, because that's a big theme for tonight. I just want to say, when I say I'm an occultist, all that means is I study the occult. I do not wear funny hats or cast spells. I do not practice magic with a K or dabble in it. I don't practice magic with a C either. You know, I don't pull rabbits out of hats. I am just fascinated by the occult and the paranormal. I'm spiritual, but I don't worship any gods or deities. That's Stephanie's department.
And this is a recent effect for you. You were not spiritual before.
Well, I've always been interested in the occult.
But you were more agnostic, I would say, than spiritual.
Well, I don't really know if I believe in God. I just said I'm spiritual.
That's okay.
What I'm interested in is exploring the hidden mysteries of the universe. Now, this sounds very super new age, and I'm not. But if you think about it, our very existence in this world is a mystery. Now, in terms of movies, because I want to include movies in this, you have what is known as the unholy trinity of folk horror. The Wicker Man, not the Nicolas Cage movie.
Not the bees.
Witchfinder General, and my personal favorite, Blood on Satan's Claw.
You just like it because it has that hot blonde girl in it.
Well, Linda Hayden is a goddess, an incredible actress. But no, I like it because it's my vibe.
She actually is really good in the movie. I think if she hadn't been cast in it, it wouldn't have worked. No, she sells the whole damn thing.
She does.
And I haven't even seen the whole movie. I've just seen some of the scenes.
You saw the most disturbing scene.
And then you have modern folk horror. Ari Aster's Midsommar, which I love. Robert Eggers' The Witch, I also love. The Lighthouse and The Northman. Alex Garland's Men. I encourage you all to watch all of these movies. They're fantastic.
Those movies are weird. I know somebody's going to say that.
They're based.
And you have the show that helped inspire this podcast, The X-Files, which is actually full of folk horror. Tons. I think it's my gateway into folk horror, actually.
Probably me too, yeah.
You have episodes like Our Town, Roadrunners, Genderbender, Schizogeny, you know, Stephanie's favorite. The Gift, Fresh Bones, which is about voodoo. Anything of voodoo, folk horror. Hell Money, Detour. You have the Satanic Panic episode about the school board with the German name, Die Hand Die Verletz.
It'd be Die Hand
no, Die Verletz. It's Die Hand Die Verletz. I know because I've heard people say it.
Well, they're saying
well, they say it in the episode like that. So. Die.
Well, they don't know how to speak German.
I don't either. Neither do you.
So. I know more of it than you do because I used to have to sing it. Schubert.
It's a Nazi language. I don't.
Shut the fuck up.
You're a Nazi. What are you talking about? Stop being a Nazi. And you have the most infamous episode of all. I was going to say the best. Home.
What's your favorite?
The episode about the family of Trump supporters that murder people to the tune of wonderful, wonderful. Honestly, any episode of The X-Files that deals with some isolated rural community or insular subculture is folk horror.
Yeah.
Any movie that does.
Well, even the chicken episode.
Chicken?
You know where they get the brain disease from eating
that's
the chicken?
That's Our Town. I just
I don't know the names of these fucking episodes. I've just seen them all. I don't have that memory.
Let's focus on Roadrunners for a moment. This is a good example.
Okay.
So Roadrunners is written by Vince Gilligan, who most of you know is the creator of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. Now in this episode, Agent Scully encounters a secluded religious community that worships a parasitic creature. The townspeople, fervent in their beliefs, become increasingly hostile and dangerous. With its remote desert setting, strange rituals, and a community bound by an ancient, horrific faith, this episode strongly embodies folk horror. It's one of my favorites. It's just a nasty piece of work. I mean, it opens with them stoning somebody to death. How could I not love it? Now, as an aside, I am a member of a Facebook group about folk horror. And it is hilarious because most of the people in there are idiots. I'm sorry, you are. They join the group, and once they realize what folk horror actually is, there's always this debate. What is it? What does it mean? What? Huh? And when they find out what it actually is, a lot of them are like, I don't like this.
I don't understand how they don't know what it is when they join the
worship.
Group. It's devil worship. A lot of them are like these Q-tards that join this group, and they're in the conspiracy rabbit hole of everything's demonic and... I don't fucking know. I don't know what these people believe.
Demonic like Joe Biden.
There's like demonic angels, demonic politicians and shit. And they get in this group and then they're like, horror? Ew.
Or they think folk horror is satanic.
Yeah.
And then you have the people who think every scary movie is folk horror. I'm here to tell you, the Saw movies are not folk horror. You chuckle fucks. It's not that hard to understand or define, guys. All you need to say is paganism and weird shit happening in small towns. That's folk horror. Boom. Got it.
Yep.
Anything about devil worship. Folk horror. Got it. Voodoo. Folk horror. Got it.
Do you think it's because Facebook is such a place for like boomers and...
No, these are young people.
What?
These are young people. And then they'll be like, wait a minute. I don't like this. I don't like stuff with witches and pagans. Anything with a lot of stuff with witches.
Why are the conspiracists in this like group?
They're not conspiracists. They're just Christian.
Oh. But then still, why are they
they're
in
like,
it?
There's something planted in their brains. That once they see something with paganism, it triggers this response where they're like, ooh, devil worship. I don't want to associate with that. It's going to suck me in. I'm going to be...
Well, speaking of Christianity and paganism, Irish Christianity, whether it's...
Catholicism?
Catholicism or the Protestants.
Oh.
You'll see the Celtic cross. So a lot, the Gaelic is still spoken in Ireland in a lot of these places. Maybe more in the smaller towns, it's shrinking. People still speak Gaelic in Ireland.
Yeah, the tongue of the devil.
This is how Christianity was spread, though. They would take pagan ideology and mix it in to Christianity.
Well, that's what Halloween is.
In different areas of the globe.
What I like about folk horror is it goes back to the old ways.
Yes.
A pre-Christian world.
What I mean, though, is it's hysterical to me that the Christians, like, bopping into this Facebook group are, like, put off by it, because a lot of the shit that's in the Bible comes from paganism.
But some of the... Look, some of these people might not even be that religious. It's just something has been imprinted or branded.
Or even culturally, like, this is just...
There's something about the idea of paganism in America that's very frightening to,
like,
people.
Like, even seeing, like...
Even atheist.
Like a pentacle, I guess.
Yeah,
they freak out over five-pointed stars.
Women dressed up as witches in the woods.
So stupid.
I love that image. That's why I like folk horror. They're like, ugh, disgusting. Don't like that. Give me slashers. Give me, like, men stabbing women with knives.
I very much want to cosplay in, like, berry wreaths and barefoot in the mossy woods. We don't have those kind of woods here. Just, like, pretty, and do pretty pictures with my hair long and down.
Yeah.
You know, wavy with braids. I want to look like a druid priestess. That appeals to me. Okay.
So...
I'm not scared of it.
Again, I want to thank everyone who has supported and listened to us. I can't say this enough. Thank you so much. So let's get to tonight's story. So, written by me, narrated by Stephanie. This is Season 4, Episode 6, Meet Me in the Woods Tonight.
Essex County, Massachusetts, October 31st, 2024. It's Halloween night in the rural New England countryside, far from the reaches of towns and modernity. The land holds on to memories of bewitched woods and colonial horrors long forgotten. Under the pale glow of the moon, a Tesla Cybertruck pulls up beside an old, weathered barn, its shadow stretching toward the brooding woods. The bumper has a sticker that reads, "Charged by Tesla, forgiven by Jesus." Thick, ghostly fog swirls around the vehicle as the doors creak open. Two high school boys, Justin Vance and Sam Carver, stepped into the chilly autumn night, their flashlights flickering through the thickening fog. As they approached a rusted barbed wire fence, Justin's beam catches the shot-up no trespassing sign. Perched atop a fence post, a jack-o'-lantern grins, its hollow eyes shimmering as if something alive watches from within. "This must be the place," Sam whispered, his eyes fixed on the sign, warning them to keep out. Justin, gripping bolt cutters, snipped through the fence with a sharp, decisive snap. The wire recoiled, breaking the tense silence. "Are you sure about this?" he asks, voice tinged with apprehension. Sam shrugged. "Come on, man. What's the worst that could happen? It's just a party, right? That girl wants to jump you." Earlier, a striking blonde sorority girl named Serena had approached Justin in town. Dressed in a white gown that left little to the imagination, her alabaster skin and piercing blue eyes, as clear as glass, radiating an innocent, almost virginal beauty. With a beguiling smile, she had invited them to a Halloween party in the forest. Her voice echoed in Justin's mind. "Meet me in the woods tonight." "I heard there's more here than just trees," Justin whispered, staring at the dark woods. "Supposedly monsters lurk beyond this fence." Sam rolled his eyes. "Bro, stop doom-scrolling TikTok. No monsters here, just influencers looking for clout." Before Justin could reply, he froze. Across the field, through the rolling fog, a dark figure stood watching. Tall, horned, wings spread, its form unmistakably demonic. Justin gasped, his heart pounding as his body jerked instinctively. "Hey, you good?" Sam's voice broke the tension, snapping Justin to the present. Justin blinked, his flashlight swinging to where the figure had been. It was gone. In its place, a scarecrow grinned at him from the field, its stitched smile unnervingly wide, almost mocking him, as if it knew his fright. "Yeah, I'm fine," he lied, shaking off the creeping dread. The scarecrow seemed to watch him, but Justin forced himself to turn away as they ventured into the woods, the fog thickening with every step, coiling around their legs. Above, the moon hung low, half hidden by swirling clouds, its pale light barely seeping through, like an eye peering from behind a curtain. The doomy path ahead felt dreamlike, as if they had stepped into a world the settlers feared, but never spoke aloud. Wind howled through the dead trees, rotting leaves crunching beneath their feet. The skeletal branches seemed to reach for them, grasping like bony fingers, as though the woods were closing in around them. Something was here with them, not seen, but felt. Always watching, always waiting. It was everywhere and nowhere. It was behind them, around them. Justin could feel its eyes boring into the back of his skull, its gaze cosmic, not bound by time or human comprehension. Suddenly, their flashlights died, plunging them into darkness. Moments later, their phones followed, cutting off the last shred of connection to the outside world. The trail behind them was swallowed by darkness, as if it had never existed. Panic crept in. There was no turning back now. They were lost in an arboreal abyss, the forest an endless maze. Ahead, a flickering glow appeared. They followed it to a clearing and stopped cold. Before them, they saw a freakish sight. Naked women gathered around a crackling fire. Dancing wildly, their movements frenzied and unsettling. They were chanting in a dead language, lips moving in unison. Raw, primal, elemental. This wasn't a party. It was something older, something ritualistic. A dark ceremony unfolding before their very eyes. And then, from within the circle of dancing figures, Serena stepped forward with the forbidding grace of a pagan priestess, hips swaying with the power of primordial femininity. Serena wore nothing but an intricate headdress, crafted from natural, earthy materials, twisted branches, leaves, and perhaps even bones, woven together into a crude yet regal crown. Her body bare except for the way her long golden hair, wild and untamed, draped over her breasts like liquid moonlight. Justin's heart dropped as he saw her. She was different now. No longer the innocent girl from town who had invited them to a Halloween party. Now, she looked like the dark queen of some ancient cult. She turned to Sam, her eyebrows arching, giving her features a feral quality. "You have served our Dark Lord well, brother," she whispered, her voice resonant and sinister. Justin blinked, his mind struggling to process what he'd just heard. "Brother?" Before he could react, Sam grabbed him, rough and sudden, forcing Justin to his knees, cold steel of a dagger pressed against his throat, his friend's betrayal like a punch to the gut, leaving Justin's mind reeling, unable to grasp what was happening. Serena approached Justin, her lips curled into a disarming smile, both alluring and malevolent, as she crouched to meet his terrified gaze. In the moonlight, her eyes, pools of ice, seemed to peer into his soul, dissecting him with a detached curiosity. She reached out, gripping his chin with claws of obsidian, her touch both soothing and invasive. "Oh, Justin, sweetie," Serena tilted her head, her voice dripping with mockery. "You really didn't know? Samuel and I? Yeah, we're blood. And this whole time, you've been walking straight into our trap. It's almost cute how clueless you are." "Sorry, man," Sam whispered in Justin's ear, his voice flat. "Blood before bros." Justin's voice shook. "This is a coven of witches. I thought all you satanic whores were burned centuries ago during the trials." Serena's smile vanished, replaced by fierce outrage. "The victims at Salem weren't witches. They were merely women feared by men who couldn't control them. And they weren't burned. They were hanged. In the name of your precious Christian God. A corpse nailed to a tree." Her voice took on a reverent tone. "Our ancient ancestors, the OG druids, builders of Stonehenge, and followers of the old gods, practiced rites the church didn't want you to know about. And when the church couldn't strip them of their power, they turned to fire, burning men, women, and even children at the stake." Serena continued. "So our ancestors sailed to the New World aboard the Mayflower, seeking refuge from persecution. They landed here, laid low, and kept passing down their ancient traditions, generation after generation," she exclaimed, her voice like candle smoke drifting through a midnight graveyard. "So it is Satan!" Justin cried out, his voice cracking as terror gripped him. Serena sighed, rolling her eyes in exasperation. We do not worship Satan. He is an invention of your religion. Serena's eyes sparkled with the ancestral glow of fire and moon as she spoke. Our bloodline has existed in secret, in this town, for centuries. Hidden, but never lost. Human sacrifice became impractical. But on Halloween, she said, biting her lower lip, as if savoring the thought, we honor the old ways. Justin felt a chill rush down his spine. The veil's super thin tonight, Serena said with a sly, knowing smile that lingered a bit too long. Samhain, which is Sabbath, when the old gods get real thirsty for Puritan blood. All of this to say, our coven has picked you. An incel, Elon Musk fanboy, Andrew Tate disciple, patriarchy personified. You're perfect for the sacrifice. Justin's voice trembled, barely audible. Sacrifice? His heart pounded, fear clawing at him. No, this can't be real. Serena's eyes narrowed with gleeful menace. Oh, it's real, babe. And spoiler alert, Elon's not swooping in to save you. You think driving one of his bro-dozers makes you special? Please, you're nothing but a cringe lord with a rich daddy. Justin whimpered, his face pale as he stared down at the ground, the full weight of her words crashing over him. Serena smirked, eyeing his t-shirt with mock pity. But don't worry, you'll be remembered as the virgin who got sacrificed in an Imagine Dragons t-shirt. Iconic, right? Her cackle exploded into the air, theatrical and high-pitched, erupting like a cauldron bubbling over. She threw her head back dramatically, her laughter swelling into the night, shrill and unhinged, as though the woods themselves were laughing with her. With a final, sharp laugh, she stroked the sleek black cat at her side, its golden eyes gleaming eerily with an uncanny intelligence. This, she whispered softly, is Azazel, my familiar. The cat hissed, passing judgment. Please, please don't do this, Justin bawled, his voice cracking, pleading. But his words fell on cold, unsympathetic ears, as Serena's chilling gaze remained fixed on him, unmoved by his pathetic sobs. She smacked him, hard. Her eyes blazed as she leaned in, inches from his face. Quit your whining, you sniveling ass! Her gaze locked onto his, burning with a terrifying intensity. My brother sent me screenshots of your texts. I know you plan to violate me without my consent. Justin's face drained of color, but he forced a grin. You're taking this way too seriously, man. I didn't mean it like that. You're imagining things. Serena ignores him. She raises to her feet, her smile cold as she turned to the dark woods, lifting her arms to the sky. Let the sacrifice begin, she intoned. From the shadows, two massive glowing eyes ignited, serpentine, ember-like, piercing the darkness like gateways to another realm. They hung suspended, filled with ancient, predatory hunger. A deep, guttural growl echoed from the trees, rattling the ground beneath their feet. Take him to the woods, Serena commanded. She begins to chant, each word a dark incantation, her tones, both melodic and menacing, thrumming with the runic cadence of archaic traditions. Her breath summons the terrors of the unseen spheres, vibrating with the arcane forces that slumber beneath the earth. The wind picks up, swirling around her, lifting her golden hair as though the air itself is under her spell, alive with her power. The coven joins her as Samuel and the other witches drag Justin to the tree line, his blood-curdling screams tearing through the night. Futile. Then, from the darkness, a massive clawed hand shot out, scaled, black, deformed. It seized Justin's ankle, yanking him into the woods. His cry ceased, leaving only the crackle of the bonfire. Serena smiled wickedly as the darkness swallowed Justin whole, claiming him for her dark lord, the fiend beneath the furrows. Turning to her brother with a smirk, dude, his screams totally added to the vibe. Samuel laughed and they embraced, their forms silhouetted in the enchanted firelight, shadows merging with the flames, an oddly wholesome moment between siblings. He left her to dispose of the Cybertruck. Serena Carver extended her hand, magically summoning her phone, readying for a selfie. Her tousled, moonlit hair fell across her face as she stuck her tongue out playfully, an exaggerated expression she had perfected. Serena angled the phone perfectly, one hand gently tracing her collarbone. The camera flashed, casting an ethereal light across her features, a sharp contrast against the horror movie woods behind her. The image was hauntingly eerie, blending Serena's old-world witchcraft with the digital, Gen Z lifestyle she embodied. Serena uploaded the selfie to social media, captioning it, "Channeling major villain era vibes right now. Hashtag coven goals. Hashtag bitchcraft. Hashtag living deliciously. Hashtag Elon's next on the altar. Hashtag slatanic ritual." With arms outstretched, Serena rose from the ground with Azazel circling her feet, her golden locks whipping around her in the firelight, like writhing serpents. The fire surged, the trees bent, and the very air quivered with her power. Serena's laughter began with a soft, innocent giggle, almost girlish in its sweetness, but quickly grew sharper, more unhinged, rising in pitch and intensity, crescendoing into a full manic cackle. The other witches followed, shrieking and cackling as they levitated above the ritual flame, carried by forces older than time itself. Serena twirled, her bare feet hovering in midair as she spun and swayed her hips, a primal dance of pure, untethered freedom, her black cat Azazel orbiting her as she floated. She moved as though she owned the night, reveling in the forbidden magic of the Ancient Ones, joyful, euphoric, wicked. When the veil is thin, the land remembers. And on Halloween, the land claims its own.